Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome into Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network, Jaguars.com, and the Jaguars app. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Tony Baselli. Congratulations, Tony.
Well, thank you, JP. It's a huge honor. Pretty cool. And pretty cool. Yeah, I know.
Better be cooler than that.
It is very cool. And I'll say this, and you guys know this. I purposely never liked even trying to go there, because it's such a long process that
it's out of your control.
You have no control over. Yeah. But I'll say this, for the first time in this process, it feels like a little bit like, okay, this actually might happen. I mean, it feels real, or at least more real than it ever has before. You know, everyone was excited, my wife, Angie, and the kids. But I told my wife, and she was all, you know, she was really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, though, nobody cares. If they forget about you unless you make it to the next level.
Yeah, that's true.
That's right. I mean,
we'll go through this again next year.
Yeah, it's right. A nice honor, but if you don't get to the final five, and you don't get the gold jacket and the bust.
All right, so I got a question.
Nobody cares.
I got a question. So it goes down to, because I don't know this.
Yeah.
It goes down to 15, and then what happens from there? That all 15 go to determine who the five are.
Right. So
down to 10 or anything.
Well,
like
I paid
that,
attention
right?
to the process now. So what happens is, they get into the room on the day before the Super Bowl, on that Saturday, and they first do the senior committee, which is Kenny Easley, and they do the presentation. They do an up and down vote, and I think he'll get 80%. And I hope he makes it. What a great player he was. And then they do the contributors, which is Paul Tagliabue this year and Jerry Jones,
mm-hmm.
and they debate them, and they do an up and down on them. And then they go to the 15, and they do offense or defense first. It switches each year. And they go through the presentations and any debates back and forth.
So who does the presentations?
So for me, it will be usually the guy who's your local market guy. So it'll be Sam and then also Vito.
Okay.
Because Vito's on it as well. So both of them will say something. And probably Sam primarily because he's the Jacksonville guy. Mm-hmm. But Vito, you know, I've talked to both of them, and Vito will say Vito's been a big part of this. I mean, really has pushed my candidacy and has done a great job, as Sam has as well.
Well, the great thing about Vito is
he's been around forever.
Been around for a long time. He's got a lot of great relations, and he's highly respected when it comes to.
He's in the Hall of Fame himself.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And so Sam and Vito will do their deal, and then it'll be debated, and then once that's all done, they vote. Everyone writes down their top 10, and so then five are eliminated, and then it goes to the top 10. And they go through the process again and debate, you know, back and forth. And then they vote from 10 to 5. And then those five are presented to the entire, all 48 guys. And they're each guy individually is up and down voted. Mm. And you have to get 80% to get through.
Okay.
Now, most of the time when those five get through, they get.
Yeah, they're in.
They're in.
Yeah.
But you can get to the five and still not get the 80% vote.
Now, they don't have to take five.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
They don't have to take any. I think the most they can take is seven, I guess, five current guys, one senior, and then one contributor.
Right. Hmm.
So it'll be interesting. And I'll be at the Super Bowl for the first time ever because I'm working.
That's right. Yeah, you're doing the
game. I have never been to a Super Bowl.
Really?
Never.
Didn't come to the one that was here?
Nope. Wasn't here. I was living in Houston.
Ah, okay.
And now when I was a player, I went to Super Bowl week a couple times for some appearances, but I always left before the game ever started. So this will be my first, and it's pretty ironic. So first time I ever make the finals, I'm actually going to be in the Super Bowl a week because I'll be working Super Bowl Sunday, and I'll go to the first Super Bowl ever.
That's so cool.
It'll be a
– Very cool.
And I'll tell you this. That week, everyone's like, are you like – think about it a lot? Are you nervous about it? You know, the anticipation? It's so far away.
Well,
it's still a month, and I got a game this weekend, and there's stuff going on. I'll be honest with you. I'm more worried about who the next head coach is going to be here.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm thinking about that more than anything. But that week, though, I will be – that week I'll be nervous. And that when I wake up Saturday morning, I can't imagine what my thoughts will be.
But I think it's interesting because you've never been through that.
Never.
So, I mean, what do you even have any idea of what to expect?
I don't.
You know, so you just kind of go into it blind, I guess, you know?
Like, I don't, am I supposed to, you know, and I've had people who are part of the Hall of Fame process, like I've had some people say, like, you have a good chance to make it this year. And I've had other people say, oh, you know, this is the next step. It'll probably take another year or so. And so I don't know what to expect. I don't know what my chances are. And I'm like, dude, what do you? Do I bring a suit? Are you, what happens? I mean, like, what if I make it? What happens Saturday night? What do you do? I mean, I have no clue.
Somebody going to buy me dinner?
I know what you do Saturday night.
Well, yeah, yeah, besides
I'll
that.
Find something to
yeah.
do.
But, I mean, I'm not sure, like, how do you, like someone says, what if you make it? What are you going to do? I'm like, I have no idea what I'll do.
Be happy.
I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't, I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, what is there a protocol? Do you go to a dinner? Do you?
What do I do with my hands?
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean
right.
So
it'll be fun.
It'll be interesting.
Great honor.
But it's a great honor. It's very humbling. I mean, you look at the guys and the other players. You know, the offensive lineman. I mean, Joe Jacoby, a guy that
he's up.
Yeah, he's up. He's in the final 15, and he's you know you growing up in Washington area. And
I grew up watching Joe Jacoby. You know, and unfortunately, I got some bad memories about Joe Jacoby. I mean, it was the Lawrence Taylor matchup that he could never, you know, he could never really kind of have any success about it. So, I mean, even though Joe Jacoby was a great player, you know, for a lot of Redskins fans, they remember what he couldn't do. You know?
Which
a lot of people couldn't
which,
do.
Which, yeah, I mean,
it's yeah, pretty
but,
normal.
But, you know, unlike a lot of other people,
right.
Joe had to try to block him twice a year.
Yeah, it's a tough sledding.
You know?
Tough sledding.
How about Faneca?
You know, Al Faneca, he's a guard, played for the Steelers.
Which that hurts. You know, guards, I mean, if you look at the Hall of Fame, I mean,
there's not a lot of them.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guards in the Hall of Fame.
John Hanna's one.
Yeah. Right? Larry Allen, which he played every guard and tackle, maybe the most dominant player I've seen to play.
At guard.
I mean, he was just unreal. So, and then you got Kevin Mawai at center. Mm-hmm. Very good player, played for a long time. So, I mean, the thing that's going to hurt me is the longevity. And that's what everyone brings up. And I was asked today on an interview, like, make your case for the Hall of Fame. I'm like, I already made my case. I mean, I played the games I played. And
they're there.
Take
a look at them.
That's my case. I'm not going to sit here and politic for myself. My career was cut short, out of my control. And if that's not good enough, it's not good enough. I'm not going back out there to play. It would probably hurt my candidacy if I did.
Just a little.
Probably a lot. So one of the guys on the radio said, well, could you think you could get like two or three snaps right now?
No.
And I said, only if they promised not to power rush. If I think I can move my feet good enough for two or three times on speed, they can't touch me. They just have to try to run around. And if they do that, I've got a chance. But as soon as contact's made,
a little shake and bake, and there goes the hip.
Oh, shake and bake, and then you hit me in the chest, I'm done. It's over. Shoulders don't work anymore. I mean, nothing. I mean, no. It's over.
Which shoulder was it?
Left one.
Oh, attack it all day long.
Done.
Attack it all. Chop.
Oh, the
grab.
Chop.
Yeah.
If you chop me right now, Jeff, I'd cry. I'd be a puddle of tears.
How many interviews have you done since the announcement?
Well, I don't know. Because I already had a bunch scheduled because of Westwood One doing the game this weekend.
Got it.
So, okay. And they've kind of parlayed and morphed into the game and the Hall of Fame. So. It's a cool time, but I'm excited for it. There's nothing I can do about it. And like I said, I'm very excited about this, but it's a crazy time around here.
Yes, it is.
Coaches. And then I'm excited. I got a great game this weekend, and I'm working every weekend for the playoffs. So I'm excited about that with Westwood One. And so a lot of good things happening right now. But the coaching situation here has just got me.
Because you don't know.
Yeah, I know.
There's no inkling of what's going to happen.
So they interviewed Mike Smith yesterday, Dan Marone today. So we'll see.
It seems a little different, right? I mean, normally you get a little more info sneaking out somewhere,
you
right?
Nor
do you.
No, not ever since Shad Khan bought this football team, you know, which I think it's the way it should be.
Tight-lipped.
And that you don't have leaks, you don't have misinformation, and when they know something, you'll know. And that's I love the way he goes about it, you know. And that's just like you know with the situation with Gus. Did anybody expect it after the Houston game?
No.
No. I mean, it's, you know, when it happens, he'll let you know. You know, and I appreciate that because I think a lot of times if you don't run it in that fashion, then I think it ends up hampering your ability to do the best you can. And so I think that that is the right way to do it. And I think that it's going to be a very interesting process because, you know, a lot of the candidates that are being bandied about, we know about. But, you know, there's always that wild card of someone that you don't know about. And to me, that makes it very intriguing. You know, and a lot of the candidates we consider, you know, strong candidates, the Mike Smiths, the Doug Marones, you know. But there's some other candidates that are really good, you know, that are really good. You know, Anthony Lynn, well, we have great respect for Anthony Lynn. We got to know Anthony Lynn when he was here.
Yeah.
High-quality individual. You know, I think Terrell Alston, the defensive coordinator in Detroit.
Is he on the list? I haven't seen his name on our
list. I haven't seen him associated with the Jaguars, but
does that mean he might not be?
No. You know, does that mean anything? You know?
Well, you usually kind of
usually it's an agent-driven thing, right, to get names out there, right?
Well, another thing is you can't talk to Terrell Alston this week anyways because he's playing the first round of the playoffs. So that's – and the timing of it is interesting. You know, they talked to Mike. They talked to Tom a week ago. Talked to Mike Smith and Doug Marone, and I think the reports are Kyle Shanahan and Josh McDaniels will be, I think, tomorrow.
Josh McDaniels, I think, is on Saturday.
Saturday?
He's supposed to be doing his interviews in Boston, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, I think it's Friday, Saturday for those guys. Anthony Lynn is going to be interviewed. Mm-hmm. Harold Godwin?
Goodwin.
From Arizona, mm-hmm. offensive coordinator. So that's the list that's going to happen this week. Now, the question is do you, after they interview that group, do they find their guy? Or do they say there's two we want to re-interview, do second interviews? Or they might come out of that and say, you know what, we like a couple, but, you know, there's a couple that are playing in the playoffs this weekend that we want to follow up when they have an opportunity.
Let's come back and get into the timing of this and what that means moving forward, the coaching search, how that could affect things, hiring a staff around a new head coach. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman on the Jaguars Radio Network. For the first hour, we'll be locally in Jacksonville on our flagship station. The second hour tonight. And we might open the phone lines in that hour.
Oh, good.
So get ready. Right, Tony's favorite.
Yeah, a little
phone calls.
A little Monday night action.
Why not? Monday night on a Thursday night.
Aggravate me Mondays. Why not aggravate
Yeah, how about we have logs the aggravate Tony Baselli half hour
it turns
each
into
and every
45
Monday.
45 minutes usually.
Yeah, or an hour normally. Kind of bleeds over that half hour window.
That's so all right, bring it on.
We'll see if we can do that a little later tonight. The coaching search is ongoing. We touched on that a moment ago. But the timing of it could be strange, right? It could be next week if you find your guy. If not, you wait until some playoff games are done if one of your guys is in there. And then the later you move, though, you might have a chance to miss out on some of the assistants that would fill out a staff. That's the challenging part.
Well, that's why I think that next week I think they're going to have it wrapped up. You know, I don't know at what point, but I'm guessing here, you know, midweek, you know. Which would be enough time to kind of conclude your interviews for the week, and then first part of the week, you know, maybe you have a couple follow-up conversations, however they may be. And then, you know, at that time, you also have to deal with the agent, you know. So you can't announce, you know, I mean, you can't just say, hey, I want to be your head coach. Okay, great. We want you to be our head coach. And then you just make an announcement. You know, then the agent has to get involved. Terms
contracts
have to be reached. And, you know, can that be a sticking point? Yeah, it probably can be with some guys, you know. So, and the structure of it, because, you know, you're talking about money and power, you know. Does he have, you know, the head coach, does he have input on the roster? Does Dave Caldwell keep final say? And look, that may not even be open for discussion. You know, we don't know that. And I think that's part of what makes this all very interesting, is because there are so many different unknowns. And where it will go, I don't think anybody truly knows.
I think, because you're right, JP, there's not only a risk of the assistants. These guys are, I mean, Mike Smith announced today he's going to San Diego to interview with Chargers.
Yeah.
The report, Doug Marone's going to interview for the Rams job.
Mm-hmm.
You got the 49ers job open. You got, you know, a number of jobs.
A lot of
jobs. Bills. I mean,
yeah.
You can go through the list. So if you like a guy, the last thing you want to do is take too much time and say, well, we want to do all our homework and make sure we talk to everyone. And the guy you like might go sign up with somebody else. And so I believe that they'll wrap up the interviews this weekend, and I think they'll know by Sunday night who their head coach is. Now, we might not hear it right away because Jeff's point, you got to negotiate contracts and stuff like that. But I believe, and this is no inside information, so anyone listening, don't think that somehow someone, you know, Shad's called me and said, hey. You know,
somebody will think that, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just my hunch and kind of the list of candidates they've gotten and where they're going. I believe that one of the qualifications or one of the important things is that this individual has head coaching experience in the NFL. And some of the guys they're interviewing don't have that. And so I think those guys would have to blow Shad away and Dave and Mark Lamping away to get the job. It's just a hunch. I think they'll have their guy by Sunday night, and we'll hear something Monday or Tuesday who the next head coach is.
And I think that they want to do that because, you know, you have six openings for head jobs, which means that you have some assistants that are out there that are going to be looking for work, and they might be the assistants that you want, and that there are assistants available for work right now that have been terminated elsewhere. You know, the Jets made some changes on the offensive staff. The Redskins fired your buddy.
The Saints fired a lot of defensive coaches today.
The whole staff got fired.
Yeah. So, I mean, now's the time to, I don't want to say get the pick of the litter, because you're really not getting the pick of the litter, because some of the best coaches are the ones with the teams that are having great success, but you're going to get the best of the rest, so to speak, you know. So, and because, you know, right now a lot of these guys that are unemployed, I mean, I was reading today, some of these coaches that were in the NFL, they're taking college jobs, you know. So, I mean, is there a guy that you want to, you know, you need to have, you know, that would be an important part to your staff? And he's sitting there going, look, I got to feed my family. You know, there's only so many jobs available in the National Football League. You know, so the first one that offers him a job that's going to give him a contract for 4 years, you know, and he's got three kids, and he was an assistant making, you know, $125, you know, he's got to have a job.
Yep.
You know, he's got to have a job. So, you know, it's there's not like a lot of people that are out there that are in the position of a Wade Phillips, you know, that says, look, I've been doing this for 25 years. I've got, you know, X dollars in the bank, and I can afford to take my time and take or leave some jobs. There's a lot of coaches like, look, man, we got to go. Family's got to get fed. Baby needs new diapers, needs new shoes.
Mama's yelling at me.
Yeah. You know?
That's
the real thing. Mama's yelling at me.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, the whole reason that they let Gus Bradley go early was so they could go ahead and get the search underway and wrap it up as quickly as possible. That's what they stated. And rightly so. And so if you did that with the intention of wrapping it up early, then you're doing it so that you can have somebody in place next week and hit the ground running so that he can assemble staff and you can roll from there.
Everyone's talking about who the next head coach is, and that it's critical.
Yes.
It's the leadership position.
Kind of important, yes.
But I'll say just as important, and a lot of head coaches have failed because of this, that are good football coaches, not getting a good staff. Getting the wrong guys. You better have some good position coaches, because the head coach isn't coaching those guys. The coordinators on both sides of the ball are putting the system in. And then your position coaches are the ones teaching and training and communicating and getting the players to do what you want. And if you don't have good assistants, good teachers, good coaches.
And ones that you can trust.
And ones you can trust. And there's bad coaches. I'm just telling you right now, in the NFL, and most of them are good, but there's bad ones. And they will kill you as a head coach. And I think that's one of the things that gets overlooked. It's always like, hey, we got to get our head coach. Who's our head coach going to be? And that's fine and dandy.
Mm-hmm.
But you just mentioned Wade Phillips. You don't think that part of Gary Kubiak's success was having Wade Phillips as a defensive
Absolutely.
Coordinator?
Oh. Huge part.
And those list of coordinators they had? You don't think you look
Rick
at
Dennison. You look at the whole staff of the Denver Broncos.
I mean, great coaches.
I mean, Rick Dennison, excellent coach. The running backs coach that they actually kept on board from Josh McDaniel's staff. Trying to remember his name. He's highly respected.
But look at the Houston Texans in that defensive staff, Romeo Crennel, carrying the team right now.
Absolutely.
You have a guy like Mike Vrabel and guys on that staff. I mean, they know how to coach ball. I mean, look at right here. I mean, one of the things I believe is working here is I think there's a lot of people that want Todd Wash to stay as the coordinator. Look what he did this year. I mean, he's a good football coach.
I think he got a C-plus in his grade.
By who?
I don't remember.
Did we forget we were 30th in the NFL last year? We were 6th this year?
Are you kidding me? You got a C-plus?
What I'm trying to say is the head coach is important. But, JP, to your point, I think you made a very good point, and I don't usually compliment.
Wow, I appreciate that. Joe. Are we recording this?
Record this. JP made a good point.
Thank you.
It's not just – you don't want to wait too long and miss out on assistants that are good guys you want, because now all of a sudden you're building your staff and you're going,
One coordinator.
That guy's not really who I want, but
– Well, when you're a head coach, you first order of business, you're coordinators.
That's right.
And then the head coach and the coordinators work together to assemble that staff on each side of the ball. Mm-hmm. And the coordinators, look, I mean, like you were talking about with Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips has worked with Bill Kolar, right, for a very long time. I mean, coordinators have relationship with guys that they're very comfortable with.
And trust.
And then that's a big, big part of it, you know, to having a quality football coach that can help you out. And so, you know, hit the ground running, rock and roll.
Let's come back and look at some of the other openings in the NFL. How do they rank? What different organizations have going on compared to the Jaguars? We'll see what the openings rank amongst you guys. How about that?
This is number one.
Who's that?
The Jaguars are
number one, according to Tony Vaselli.
What else am I going to
do? I don't know. We'll find out when we come back.
We'll talk about it because I actually think this is a great job.
This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Chatterick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli, Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network and Jaguars.com, the Jaguars app as well. Coaching search going on. This is not the only NFL team going through this situation right now.
Really?
You guys might have
breaking
heard of that.
News.
Breaking news right here. You hear this first.
By JP. I love you, JP.
I love you too, Tony. There are some other teams with openings. Let's rank them, shall we? Let's start off. We'll go alphabetically.
And
then we'll go through the situation.
Okay, we got six of them, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I got a cheat sheet with Yahoo that ranked them as well.
Okay.
So we'll see how ours compared to them.
So let's start with Buffalo. They've got a good running game. No, they got issues.
Hold on. We need to list all of them.
Just put them all out there.
Okay, Buffalo.
Okay. Buffalo, San Francisco,
Denver. We go Buffalo, San
LA,
Francisco,
San Diego. You got three California
teams. San Diego.
Okay, those three right there in my mind.
Denver and Jacksonville.
Are all near the bottom.
The California ones.
Yeah.
Why? All right, do this, Jeff.
Why?
Give me your top six, starting with one. What's the best job?
Talking to the microphone, Tony.
What's the best job, Jeff?
I would say, first of all, the best job is the one that's going to pay you the most money if you're a head coach.
Besides the money part.
Okay, but as far as attractiveness, I mean, the Denver Broncos has to be number one.
Okay. Why?
It's an organization that has had great success. It's got a phenomenal fan base. It has a great defense in place already. Denver is considered a great place to live. John Elway's running the team, who has been proven that he is a football guy, was a Hall of Fame player himself, and I think that carries a lot of weight. And Pat Bowlen, who is, you know, not a day-to-day operating owner, but, you know, he's been very, very willing in years past to do whatever it takes to have great success. And I think that's the most important thing is the support from ownership. So I think that is number one. And they have history.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I think, is this job right here. You have an owner that's patient, that's willing to spend money, that has what is viewed by many as a roster that has a good talent base. I don't want to say a great talent base because you can't say that for sure when you've won 5-3 games.
Is he as patient as he was 4 years ago? Ownership.
Well, that's a great question, and I don't know the answer to that. When you have given, first of all, to be able to come into this situation, and when he bought the team, to be told, here's how we think is going to be the way that is going to be able to give us sustained success, he was totally supportive of it, you know, through some very trying times. And so, yes, I think that he will continue to be supportive of it to a point, because I think that the roster is at a different point. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't come in and say, okay, you know, Shad's not going to be sitting there talking to a coach going, you know, we're going to give you 4 years to get us to the point where we start to win football games. Because 4 years have already been spent in building this program. You know, so, and here's the other thing. This is a great place to live. There are more coaches that come here and stay here maybe than any other NFL team that there is.
Not what Trent Dilfer said.
Well, it's because he is a moron.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that makes it a very attractive job.
Okay. That's two.
Number three.
San Diego, right?
No.
You got the quarterback?
They don't
you
have
got
a home. They don't know where they're going to be playing at. It's in California. They have high tax rates. They have an aging quarterback that might give you a year or two left. No, it's not a great job. You know? I don't think it is at all. I think all three California teams, with the exception of the Rams job, I think the San Francisco job is bad. You have a very impatient owner. He's got a proven track record that he has impatience. You have no quarterback in place. You don't have a lot of talent anymore like they used to have when Harbaugh was their coach. The Rams job, I think, is probably the best one out of California.
Now, so you put Buffalo third then?
I don't know if I would. No, I wouldn't put
so
Buffalo.
Rams
I'd put
third?
Buffalo four.
So Rams third, Buffalo fourth?
I put Buffalo five probably.
So
four or five.
Yours and I's are very close because I'm with Jeff. Denver's number one. I mean, if I take my bias of Jacksonville off the table,
absolutely,
I mean, with John Elway leading that, I think the leadership's very good there. Got a couple young quarterbacks that have a chance. Great defense. I mean, you have the makings of something you can win right away. I think this is the second best job. I think it's talented. I think the questions that Blake Bortles and can he develop, and how tied – my question if I was the head coach is how tied do I have to be? I mean, mm-hmm. Not that I want to get rid of him. But
I guarantee you the answer is you're not tied to him at all. You just need to do what's best for us. If we need to get another one,
right.
So be
so
it.
There'd be two. Three would be the Rams to me. Like the Rams ownership's going to be hands-off, investing a lot of money, great defense. Buffalo would be four, San Diego five, and I'm with Jeff. The worst job is the 49ers. No quarterback, no talent, and an owner that fires people out of heartbeat.
A long way to go in Santa Clara, too, to get where they want to be. We'll come back, and you mentioned the quarterback. Let's
and
get
might, you know what? There might be one more job opening up, too.
Ooh, so intriguing.
Let's
that's a nice
that
tease. Yeah. Here we go. This is Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist Tony Boselli. Second half hour underway on the Jaguars Radio Network. Our second hour tonight locally in Jacksonville on our flagship station, 1010XL. We'll also still be on the website and the app. We'll take calls in the second hour tonight. So get ready, Tony. Get ready, Jeff.
Be good.
For phone calls. Now, you teased us, Tony, before the break. You're stating that there could be one more NFL head coaching opening.
Yeah, early in the week, they thought people I talked to, there could be two. And the first was the Detroit Lions. But the Lions came out, I think it was Bob Quinn, their GM, basically said that Jim Caldwell would be back. But there was some thought if they lost this week after losing the last three games of the year that Quinn's a New England guy, that he'd fire Caldwell, go get Josh McDaniels, and try to build New England up in the Midwest. But it sounds like he'll be back. But the other one that people are talking about that I've heard talked to a number of different people is the Houston job, that Bill O'Brien could be in trouble.
Really?
That there's a little bit of a power clash or struggle between him and Rick Smith, the GM. And some people say that the GM won that battle and that Bill O'Brien might be out if they don't win. Which would be shocking to me because I think Bill O'Brien's
a
great football coach.
And if he were to get fired, you'd have to hold the process up a little bit here.
He'd be a guy to interview right away.
You got to interview him because of what he's been able to do with the Houston Texans without a quarterback has been pretty impressive.
Now, I guess the knock is they're not overly happy how he has built the offense. And flip side of that, what quarterback is he?
Yeah, what are you
going to do? But they haven't used – I mean, that has been the defense in which he built that staff, Roman Quayle, but I think there's been some questions about his offensive staff and how that part has been managed. I'm with Jeff, though. I think he's a fabulous coach. You look what he did in Penn State through one of the most difficult situations in the history of college football.
Yes.
I mean, as hard a situation as you can be in, walked in there and found a way to win. Came to Houston after they fired Gary Kubiak, got that thing going pretty quickly. Won the division back-to-back years, been in the playoffs both those years. I give him a lot of credit. I think he is a good football coach, and I think it's if he gets fired, there's something wrong. That's a mistake. I mean, I think it makes it better for us as Jaguar fans, but that's a mistake. That's a good football coach, and I hope it's just rumors because that's
how that goes.
It's all rumors right now.
No
it's
doubt.
Not like the people I've heard from. Like no, you know, there's whisperings. I mean, 3 days ago, I was told that Jim Caldwell was out for sure, and that was the rumors going around the internet and the insiders and the football. And Bob Quinn basically came out and said that's not true. So it could be all nonsense, but that's what people are saying.
Would it take a blowout or any kind of loss, you think, or you're hearing?
Just a loss, I think.
A loss to a third-string quarterback.
I guess, but I think Houston wins that game. I know we'll do picks.
How about that?
We'll do picks later.
I don't know.
Well, if you have two bad quarterbacks, Jeff,
yeah,
don't you pick the best defense?
Where do you pick the best running game?
Well, Houston's running game is not terrible with Lamar Miller.
No, I know, but it's not great.
But that Houston, I mean, that LA, I mean, that Oakland defense ain't great. And I'll take
I'll take the Raiders' offensive line all day.
Donald Penn's hurt.
Got a question on him.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Yeah.
You
got hadn't practiced yet.
And Houston defense, we've seen it twice. Pretty dang good. And
they are good. Amazing how good they are without J.J. Watt. Jadeveon Clowney, he's been the big difference for them all year.
Comeback player of the year, maybe? I mean, most improved, I guess.
Yeah.
Because he's not comeback, but most improved player in my book. I mean, he's been fabulous.
And he's not even 100% healthy.
But he might never be, you know. That
no, that's
that,
the thing.
With that microfracture he had.
Once you get that, it's like, I remember when I had it, I remember when Tony Brackens had it. I never felt the same. Tony Brackens never looked the same. Jadeveon Clowney, over the last couple of years, with the exception of this year, looked like he may never be a star.
And then there's guys like Bruce Smith who had it and were fine and won multiple defensive player of the year.
I think the most important thing is where the microfracture was at and range of motion.
Well, to explain to every one of microfractures real quick, the microfracture is done when the articular cartilage, which covers your femur of your bone, that is padding, so the bone when the bone's together.
Femoral and tibial head, both sides.
Both tibia have it. And when you knock a piece off, now you have bare bone, and so that's very painful.
That sounds painful.
And depending where – and what they do is they go and they pick it and try to get scar tissue to grow to take the place of the cartilage. And depending where that is, if it's in a certain area, you still get that pressure.
How much is the knee bent when that spot starts to get contacted and the bone, exposed bone, or that area starts to get contact from the other bone? You know, and Tony Brackens, when he had it, it was pretty high. In other words, when he just started to bend his knee is when his contact spot was being made. Like with mine, I was not I don't say in a squat position, but I was closer to a squat position.
So you could still play.
I could still play, and there were a lot of things that I'd never even – or that I would do that never even got to the spot where it would engage it. So it all depends on where it's at.
Let's come back and discuss what – role the quarterback position plays in this coaching search for the Jaguars. I think it's a pretty big one moving forward. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday continues. A little quarterback talk. Blake Bortles. Going to go back to California, he says. Get a little fundamental work back in with his private coaches. After a couple weeks down, he'll get back to it, as always. A couple receivers say they'll probably go out there as well. Marquise Lee's going to be out some, he said. How important is, you touched on it a minute ago, how important is Blake Bortles to the head coaching search? How big of a priority is the questioning of how you're going to use Blake and all that?
I think it's huge from the standpoint. It's no secret he didn't play well this year. Now, the last two games you saw some improvement, but if you take the body of work as a whole and you're a head coach coming in, it's like if he plays like that, I'm going to get fired. So I think it's very important. I've said all along, I would bring Blake back. You don't cut him. You don't make an emotional decision. But you make it an open competition. And you hope he's the guy. You hope he wins the job because he has so many things we all love about him that make up great quarterbacks. But he's got to clean some things up. Decision-making, mechanics, all those things that he needs to work on. And if I'm a head coach, I want to understand how the GM, Dave Caldwell, and how the owner feel about the quarterback and what is their plan for him. And I want to make sure my thoughts and plan measure or line up with those guys. I think that's an important part of it.
And I think a lot of guys want to know, you know, what the thoughts are on the quarterback from the people that are doing the interviewing, which is Shot and Dave, what Tony is talking about. You know, when a coach walks in the door, he's not going to be able to offer an opinion on Blake Bortles. I mean, the people that are being interviewed just got done with a grind for 4 months mm-hmm. of their own, you know.
Maybe he's watched a little bit of film,
or they've, you know, looked at him in the rankings that comes out every week, you know. I mean, a lot of coaches don't even get to see, you know, certain teams, you know. Like, we haven't seen every team in the National Football League this year. You know, we haven't seen many teams.
Right.
You know, the NFC West. You know, we haven't seen any of those teams on tape.
Nope.
You know, so we've got no idea how any of those players played. I mean, you're going based off of reputation. You know, so, you know, I think the coach probably going to want to know what their thoughts are on the quarterback, and then he's going to tell them, look, I don't want to be tied to a guy that I don't know much about. And, look, in my opinion, we come in there with an open mind, and we'll see where it's at with him. If it's good, great. You know, if he doesn't perform well, you know, we're going to need to bring in competition. I think either way, no matter what the opinion is, they're going to be saying, look, let's bring somebody in to compete with the quarterback. And if you don't do that, you're making a mistake. And I talked about this earlier in the week. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, when they drafted Troy Aikman first overall in 1989 in the supplemental draft, they drafted Steve Walsh. You know, Jimmy Johnson says nowadays, and he talks about and reflecting back on it, he says, you know, we drafted Steve Walsh because we thought he would provide us great trade opportunity later on. That's BS. He's saying that now because Troy Aikman ended up taking him to multiple Super Bowls.
Right.
It's total BS. He did it because Steve Walsh took him to a national title at Miami and was a good quarterback. And because he didn't know that Troy Aikman was going to be a Hall of Famer. You know, and so even if you think you have one, first overall, you would think you would have one, right? You still don't know you have one. You still have to continue to look. 49ers, Joe Montana, one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the league. Steve Young becomes available. They scoop him up, right?
Mm-hmm. Worked out okay.
Would they get criticized today? If the same scenario happened in today's
day, sure, yeah.
Absolutely. Teams, you know.
Somehow we've gotten.
Why did you even worry about taking this guy? We could have spent that money on somebody else. Well, guess what? Steve Young ended up being a Hall of Famer too. But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Even if you think you've got one, you got to keep looking to get more.
Let's come back, continue the discussion. This is Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shattuck, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Loggeman, Jaguars Thursday rolling along. You know, we didn't really touch on the Jaguars assistant coaches right now. I'm sure they're
scrambling,
right? A little bit.
Well, none of them are released.
Yeah, they're under contract. Here. They're under contract, and that's a hard position to be in because I'm sure that is the way that it is with all six teams in the league. You know, when people – I think a lot of people out there assume that, okay, look, when Gus Bradley got fired, the whole staff is now free to sign with other teams that have an opening for a position. No, that's not the case. They're basically in limbo. And so what most of them are probably doing right now, people are calling them up. They're calling people. So to gauge the interest on both sides if they are released from their contract. Because when the head coach does get hired here and in the other five places in the National Football League, the first thing that he's going to do when he walks in the door, and I don't want to say the first thing, one of the first things he's going to do is make a determination of which staff members he would like to retain on staff. You know, and the Jaguars got some, you know, some good candidates. I mean, Todd Walsh, Jerry, you know, obviously Jerry Sullivan's very highly respected around the league, and you know, and there's more than just those two guys. I just use them as an example. But that's a difficult position to be in. Because, you know, let's say for example they hire head coach X. Head coach X walks in the door and says, "Todd Walsh, I tell you what, you know, I really like you, but I'm not sure yet." So in other words, he wants to gauge maybe somebody else's interest in the position. And if that doesn't work out, maybe he falls back on Todd Walsh. Well, then Todd Walsh, by the time he gets released from his contract, if they make the determination he's not going to be the guy, then he's late out of the hunt for other openings in the National Football League. It's not very fair, but that's the way it is.
It's the business we've chosen, right?
Well, perfect example is, I mean, so Joe Barry, one of my best friends, gets fired today.
In Washington.
In Washington.
Redskins defensive coordinator.
Redskins defense coordinator. And Perry Fuel, old Jaguar coach, his secondary coach, got fired as well. A number of their defensive staff. So I'd say Jay Gruden called and said, "I like what Jacksonville did this year, and I want Todd Walsh." And he called. Dave Caldwell said, "I'd like Todd Walsh." And Dave says, "No, can't talk to him.
Can't do it.
Todd Walsh has no ability." And the next head coach might fire Todd Walsh a week later, but someone else might already have that job.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough situation for the assistant coaches, and they're all scrambling. And, you know, guys like Todd Walsh and a number, they're going to get other jobs because they're good coaches. But who you really feel?
It happens sometimes that good coaches don't have jobs because of the timing.
The timing. But who I really feel for is some of the young assistant coaches. And the assistants to the position coaches who are getting their coaching career started. And now they're scrambling, trying to find – and Jeff made a great point, and I think this is where people forget it sometimes. If they have families, wives, kids, and now they're scrambling around. They're under contract, don't know what's going to happen, trying to find another job.
And they're going to get paid the next year, but it's beyond that.
But a year out, you know, Jeff, once you're out, sometimes it's hard to get back
in. Very hard.
One more segment left in the network hour of Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Final few moments of Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network. Stick around for the second hour on our flagship 1010XL. Also on Jaguars.com and the Jags app. Another hour of Jaguars Thursday is coming up with your calls. 1-800-355-NFL1. 355-6351 the number. We'll get to those calls coming up in the second hour tonight.
You know, to kind of follow up with the situation with a lot of the assistants, let me add this. There's a rule in the National Football League that I think is extremely difficult for me to really understand. If you have a running backs coach, and to bring the example up, because the Philadelphia Eagles have a quarterbacks coach that the New York Jets wanted to interview for their offensive coordinator position. And the Philadelphia Eagles have Frank Reich as their offensive coordinator, who's a candidate for the Buffalo Bills. The Jets were denied by the Philadelphia Eagles the right to talk to the Eagles quarterback's coach for the New York Jets offensive coordinator position. Mm-hmm. In the National Football League, the only position that you have to give permission for to interview is for a head coaching job. You don't have to give permission for a lateral move, so position to position job, or a position to coordinator job, which is not a lateral job.
It's a promotion.
That's a promotion. Teams have the right to deny that. And if you look at assistants now, assistant coaches, position coaches make in the ballpark of, you know, on the low end, 150, you know, to some of them make, you know, $500,000, the really good positional coaches.
Usually like the DB coach is a highly paid assistant.
Well, not necessarily. It's all about, you know, where that person is
offensive,
at.
Right. Now, an offensive line coach in this league will make anywhere from a half to a million nowadays.
Right. I mean, but most positional coaches are in that, you know, six figures, two fifty and up to four. You know, the really good ones make more. Coordinators are making a million and a half, two and a half, some cases 3 million. So, you know, can you imagine, JP, if you were offered a job as, you know, radio tech in Georgia somewhere else to make $2 million, and you're making $150 as a positional radio guy down here, and they denied the right for you to talk to them?
That might make me a little upset.
Doggone right. And I think that's...
That rule changed about 5 or 6 years ago because what teams were doing to get around
crazy
the lateral movement. They were basically saying, we'll bring you as the linebacker coach, but we'll make you the assistant head coach.
Second hour coming up on 1010XL, Jaguars.com, and Jaguars app. This is Jaguars Thursday on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Jaguars Thursday continues. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Your calls, 355-NFL1, the number. We'll get to those coming up. We'll look around the National Football League as well and see how he did in the picks in Week 17.
Did I crush it again?
I don't know about that. We'll find out soon. We'll find out where the standings
are.
What
kind of lead do I have going into the playoffs? They're double points now.
Pretty good lead.
I do know this. I gained on you significantly last week.
Oh, we ended up tied for the season at the end of last week.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. we got a few segments to go before we get to. Oh, people are clamoring for the results.
Oh, they can't wait, JP. They're
clamoring. I'm getting tweets all over the place here.
I bet.
Plenty to discuss, of course. Coaching search continues. But to follow up on what we had just finished the previous hour with, you know, if you deny the guy a right to go interview for a lateral or a promotion gig somewhere, then you got to deal with that guy on your staff still and upset. The guy could be disgruntled.
Well, but he's under contract, and he doesn't want to get a bad reputation because it travels quickly around the NFL.
Small circles.
And a lot of times it's not the head coach who denies it. It's the GM. It might even be the head coach, but they always can push it off on the GM. So, mm-hmm. I would have done it. But the rule was put in place, and we had to get out at the top of the hour. The rule was put in place because it's always been you can't make a lateral. So you couldn't go from running back coach to running back coach, O-line coach to O-line coach. And so what teams were doing to get around that, they were giving guys basically just titles. You know, you'll be the offensive line coach and assistant head coach. Well, that's a promotion. Or you'll be, you know.
Co-offensive coordinator.
Co-offensive coordinator. You'll be run game coordinator. You'll be, you know, they were creating these titles to get around that lateral movement. And the owners basically got together and said, we don't like this. Because we're losing control of where our coaches are going. And I understand that because the flip side of that is owners are like, wait a second, I'm giving you a 3-year contract. I'm paying you no matter what, even if I fire you. And so it goes both ways. But I'm with Jeff, though. If you have an opportunity to better yourself and it's a real promotion, I just have a hard time. And I would hope, and there's some teams in this league that are good about it. They basically tell their assistants, I'm not going to release you laterally, but if you have a chance to better yourself, I'm going to let you go do it. Now, there's also some teams on the flip side that said, I don't care. No matter what, I'm not letting you go. So,
well, there's also some teams that have, maybe there's a quarterback's coach that the OC's interviewing somewhere. If he gets a job, he might get promotion with the team he's at.
That's the Philly situation.
But there's no guarantee Frank Reich's getting that job. So what happens to Joe Blow, the quarterback coach, when Frank Reich doesn't get it, and now you're sitting there going, well, wait a second. I could be offensive coordinator making $1.3 million. I'm making $400,000 right now. Let me do the quick math. That's about a $900,000.
Well, $1.3 million a year probably would have gotten like a 3 or 4 year deal, which, right, you know, he probably has like maybe a 1 or 2 year deal in place where he's at.
It's a big money difference.
Sure.
And by the way, most of these coaches, the reason they're doing it, I mean, it's not the money.
They want to advance.
They want it to be their show.
They want to be the man. Everybody wants to be the guy.
They want to control, right. They want to build it.
Sure.
Because they want to be head coaches one day. That's what most guys want to do.
Yeah, that would be a tough one to swallow.
You would handle that real well, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, I'd handle that really good. You know, but I do understand the I don't want to say the ownership perspective, but the team perspective.
Right, sure.
You know, and
it goes both ways.
I also understand it, you know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, if a guy signs a 3-year deal, he's got to honor that 3-year deal. If not, then he should have just signed a 1-year deal. You know, and I understand all that too.
Some of the better coaches who are more confident will do that.
1-year deals.
I'll do a 1-year deal. Because you guess what? You're going to fire me. I'm going to find another job anyways. I'm that well respected. And I want the freedom to go do what I want.
But there's not many of them.
It takes a while to get to that point.
But there's not many of them.
And you better be good.
Better be real good.
There's a handful of them, but not a lot.
Mm-mm. A lot of these coaches, some guys go back to college too, right?
Sure.
To take college gigs. That's the other thing.
Well, by the way, as much as college is paying right now in the Power 5 conferences, you're making just as much money as an assistant in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the SEC, and I only know the offensive line side of it, but some of those offensive line coaches are making high six figures. Coach offense, I mean, the strength coach at Alabama is making almost $1 million.
I know.
What?
Yes.
Scott Cochran.
Unbelievable. The Power 5, especially like
looks here.
I mean, they're making big money.
Yeah. Well, the strength coach is the only one that can have year-round contact with the players.
I don't care. Yeah.
Here's one issue though with college and in the NFL.
You got to recruit in college.
Well, it's a different job, but also in that you have pensions, and then some places you don't. And even in the NFL with the coaching situations, some teams participate in the pension program,
the old pension program,
and some teams don't. Hmm. There are teams in the National Football League that are considered more attractive for assistant coaches and offensive coordinators because they still participate in a pension that a coach may have one or two more years to go before he's fully vested in this pension program.
How many years is it to be vested?
I don't know the details of it. I just know that not all teams in the National Football League participate in it anymore. The Jaguars a few years ago, Wayne Weaver opted out of it, along with a lot of other teams in the National Football League.
I bet you over half of them opted out.
It is. I think it's about half. That's also a factor in considering what organizations are considered attractive. And it's also considered attractive for assistant coaches, but also for staff members. Because staff members, if they can accumulate enough time, their retirement is, they can reach a certain point and be good, And I get that, that's all part of the deal. A lot of the things that that people just don't even think about from, that haven't been involved in the National Football League, the things that you don't think about are things like that. Or that, because people always have very quick comments about, I'll fire that coach, he's terrible. People don't think about, he's got three kids and he's got a wife and, people don't think about that because it's sports, They can detach from the game the personal emotions
well, it's no
or the
than
personal
what they do with
side.
Players.
Yeah,
get rid of that guy.
Kind of same way.
Cut him, right? Yeah.
Not that fans aren't right sometimes, but there's more to it. I guess when you fire a staff, you're
they're
affecting
people.
A lot of
people. The other people,
lives.
And they got lives.
And I know I've got criticized a lot this year about, I don't want to say protecting, but saying, listen, let's not be so quick and not wanting to talk about firing guys. And part of it's because. And Jeff's the same way. You look at the staff. We're here a lot, and you become friends with these guys. And so whether wins or losses, we all want to win, and we all understand why things happen. Doesn't mean you like it because you see your friends get let go, and it's tough on them, tough on their families. No one likes that.
And then we're in this no man's land right now.
Well,
that's part of the deal.
Fun.
I think what Jeff's saying, sometimes all of us have to remember. Because, listen – we're all guilty of it. You watch a game and you're like, oh, that guy's a bum. Get rid of him. He stinks.
Third drop this year.
We all do that. And so I'm not being critical of the fans. I've done it. But when you're close to it, like all of us are, it's a reminder, wait a second, these are real people and lives and wives and kids and changing schools. A lot of stuff goes on. So, but it's part of the business. Everyone knows it. No one's asking you to cry for them.
No, we don't feel sorry for them.
But
you don't like it. When coaches sign up, they basically sign an agreement with their family and their themselves that they understand you have to be ready to pack the station wagon up at any moment's notice and get ready to move the ship. That's just the way it is.
And there's high reward. There's high paying
jobs.
Reward.
It's great
jobs. And you can win and be very successful, but it's high risk too if you don't. It could be gone like that.
By the way, which is how most things work in life.
Yes. Yes. It's like a real life.
It's called capitalism.
That's true. Yeah, it is.
You want high reward, you better be willing to take some risks.
That's right. So the Jaguars search is well underway. We've We talked about it a little bit in the first hour. Is there a, and I know we've talked about it the last couple of weeks already, is there a certain direction that you feel like this thing should go?
For me, yes.
Which is?
I want a guy who's done it before.
Okay.
I want a guy who has coached, in, preferably in the NFL. I mean, there might be a guy, you know, if you had an Urban Meyer.
Yeah, but they're not getting those guys. Yeah.
But I want guys who coached here in the NFL, who had success, who've been through situations, who have, you know, taken tough jobs and had success doing it. I don't think this organization, this team, is in a position to hire a first-time head coach who's going to learn on the job.
Mm-mm.
And go through some growing pains. Not that
they so just they, did that.
Yeah, nothing like Kyle Shanahan. He might be a great coach one day. I don't know. I mean, that's I wish him the best. I just don't want to find out here. You look at the guys they've interviewed so far. Tom Coughlin, I think
he's done okay.
He's done okay. His resume is.
It might live up to your standard. I don't know.
Speaks for itself. You know, he's older. So it's something you have to consider. How long does he want to do it? Then you go to Mike Smith and Doug Marrone. Mike Smith got interviewed yesterday, Doug Marrone today. I said this, I think, on Monday night, and I've talked about it on a couple of the radio shows this week. Both guys have gone into very difficult situations and had success. Turning situations around. Doug Marrone was hired by Syracuse. It was an absolute disaster. Got turned around, went to a bowl game. Went to Buffalo. It was a disaster in the second year without a quarterback. Got to 9-7, decided to leave because of differences with the front office.
And we're finding out now how different that was.
Yeah, how difficult. So he has had, I mean, he has been in the midst of really tough situations.
That's been a really good thing to happen for Doug Marrone.
The truth coming out.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Oh yeah, no doubt.
Mike, I don't want to say the truth.
Or at least a,
the full,
a
more of the story.
More of the story. A different perspective. How about that?
Exactly.
Then you have Mike Smith. Mike Smith went to the Atlanta Falcons. He had the benefit of getting a quarterback in Matt Ryan. But also went into a toxic situation. People forget Atlanta Falcons Michael were coming Vick. Out of the Michael Vick situation, dogfighting. That Bobby Petrino left in the middle of the night. It was like the most dysfunctional place because I was doing games for Fox at the time.
And an organization that hadn't won a lot.
And they had never in the history of the organization won, had back-to-back winning seasons.
Wow, yeah.
And Mike Smith took them to unprecedented success.
Even in the Dirty Birds years?
The most successful head coach in Falcons history.
Yes. So he has gone in tough situations. He had the difference between him and Doug. He had the benefit of the quarterback. But he made a tough situation and did a great job. Both those guys will not walk in here and be trying to figure out what the first thing they're going to do is. They already know. Different personalities, different type of guys. One's an offense, one's a defensive guy. I don't really care about that. They have experience. I like if any of those three guys were the next head coach, I'd be fine with any of them. You look at Josh McDaniels.
He's got experience.
He has experience. The big question I've asked.
I don't know if it's been good experience.
Where has Josh McDaniels had success outside of being with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady?
And let me ask you this. Has the Patriots offense suffered without him as the offensive coordinator?
No.
Yeah, they've been pretty decent.
So
with or without.
He went to Denver. It did not work out. It was very poor. He got fired after 2 years. He went to St. Louis as the offensive coordinator, and they were atrocious. He had Sam Bradford as a quarterback. He went to rehab his career back at New England and done a great job, taking nothing away from him. But the question I don't want to ask Josh if I was interviewing him, what happened in Denver? What happened in St. Louis? What'd you learn from it, and what would you do here? But he would be a guy I'd want to talk to because he has experience. But those first three, and I don't think Tom's going to do it. I don't know if Tom even wants to do it. So right now, of the guys I know they've interviewed, and Jeff said it earlier, they could be interviewing other guys we have no idea about. Mm-hmm. To me, it would be Mike Smith or Doug Marrone.
Probably so.
Do you think – one final thought here. Do you think it would be done already if Tom Coughlin wanted to do it?
I don't know that. That would be unfair for me to say.
No.
I don't know enough about
it. Still go through the process of the other guys.
And I don't know about the conversation they had. And I don't, you know, because I'm not even sure, Jeff, it was an interview as much as just a get-to-know-each-other conversation.
Well, and I think it might have been a fact-finding mission on both sides.
I agree.
So, you know, Tom Coughlin trying to feel out Shad Khan. Shad Khan maybe wanting to gain more knowledge from Tom Coughlin.
Sure.
You know, so.
Where I think Mike Smith and Doug Marrone were interviews. I think they were different.
True interviews.
I think those are true interviews. Mike Smith and Doug Marrone telling Shad Khan why they would be the best head coach.
Phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Your calls when we return. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Other guys talk about it. I guess a 3-4. I guess because I'm considered a heavier backer. I'm 240, 245. I guess that would be a plus in the 3-4 scheme as opposed to the scheme we were in because they preferred lighter backers. You know what I mean? So I guess that would benefit me. But, you know, I really don't know. I've never played that in the NFL, so we'll see.
Miles Jack on getaway day a couple days ago discussing the idea if there was a change to the 3-4 defense.
Who asked that question?
I don't remember, honestly. I was there, but I can't remember. But there could be changes in scheme with this personnel.
That's a
right?
terrible question.
Why?
Because Miles Jack is a rookie. He doesn't even know. He's never played in a 3-4. You're asking him to answer a question.
He's got no idea.
No idea. And you, first of all, you it's a dumb question. Then you put him in a position to answer something that, what is he supposed to say?
I can't play there. Great. Well,
listen, Miles Jack can play Mike linebacker in any system he wants to play in.
Yes.
Okay. Nice.
I wish you'd have just said, that's a dumb question. I don't know because I've never played in 3-4, but I know this. I can play backer in this league. Line me up and I'll go. But I love we ask these players questions, especially young guys, and they have no clue. I mean, and then some of the things players say, and we talked about this Monday night, to me are just, it's nonsense. It's nonsense.
I think you
want
to hear Ngakoue talking about it too? I
got give me Ngakoue.
So it was you that was asking
was
the dumb question.
I happened to be there.
Yeah. Ngakoue, what do you think about being an outside linebacker? What do you mean? I play rush end. I got 8 sacks.
I will say this. I was the only one with an Ngakoue. I didn't ask the question. He brought it up on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So for the record. You want to play it?
Yeah,
hey,
play it. Let's hear it.
Joe, we're going to play something here. Can't hear it. We'll get to, he's on the phone. We'll
Joe's
get to, he's
not paying attention.
Look, I know it, why it's kind of a popular question, you know, because a lot of people all year long have been saying, how do you get Miles Jack on the field? You know, let's go to the 3-4. It'll get him on the field.
Where?
It doesn't change whether he plays or not. There's in a 3-4 and a 4-3, there are two inside linebacking positions. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what defense you play. Okay? In a 3-4, you have two outside linebackers, okay, in the rush ends, which Miles Jack doesn't fit that profile. The two inside linebackers are a Mike and a Will. The inside linebackers in a 4-3 are a Mike and a Will. So, in other words, Miles Jack needs to be better at Mike or Will than Paul Posluszny and Telvin Smith. That's how he gets on the field more, at those two positions. I think him playing in a 3-4 would probably limit the amount of playing time that he would get as opposed to a 4-3 if he were to play something else besides Mike and Will.
Jeff, we both jumped on JP a week ago when he brought up the idea of possibly moving Posluszny to Sam and putting Jack at Mike.
Yeah, and you jumped me.
I jumped you. I did especially. And then I thought about
it. It was unbelievable.
I thought about
it. It was a pummeling and, for no reason whatsoever.
And had some conversations with different people. And someone brought up a good point to me, and I thought about it, and I told JP I apologize. Minnesota did something similar where they had the young backers in Barr and Kendricks. Great players. Really young, though. But Chad Greenway was still playing at a high level. But they wanted more speed on the field. And so the first and second down, they moved Greenway
to Sam.
Mm-hmm. And then they were able to keep those guys on the field. And they did some different things. They had more of a they went to more of a true 4-3, so all guys are off the ball. And in certain looks, they would put Kendricks outside and keep Greenway inside. But that, I started thinking about it, that's a possibility just because of the flexibility that Puz has and how smart a player he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have to be, you'd have to, maybe not the true Otto, which we've seen them play this year, but more of a true 4-3 Sam backer that plays off the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
And that's only if Miles Jack says, shows that he's...
He's got to be better than Paul at
Or as good.
Yeah, do you want to move a really good middle linebacker linebacker?
But if you feel like he's as good, and I think we're... Or you could do a situation where you keep Puz at Mike in first and second down.
And then he comes out.
And Miles Jack at Sam or Otto on first and second down. And then when you go to third down packages, Paul comes out and Miles Jack. Because the one thing Miles does, he is more athletic and faster than Paul Posluszny right now this time of his career.
Yes.
And so if you have Miles Jack and Telvin out there, you
better
have –
better space player.
You have two guys who can play in
or could space. I don't want to say is a better because, you know what?
Has the athletic ability.
He hasn't proven it yet, but he has certainly better athletic ability and more space ability than Paul Posluszny.
Right.
And it appears that he has a little bit better instincts. Not that Paul Posluszny is poor in any of those areas because he's not. Paul Posluszny is a fine football player. You know, and the other thing that you also have to get to that point is that Miles Jack also has to be able to captain the ship. You know, and until you can have somebody that can captain the ship, you can't take that person out.
That's right.
So whether it's Telvin Smith that's captaining the ship, and then Miles Jack is playing alongside him, or Miles Jack can get on the field and run the ship, be the captain of the ship, then you can't do it. So, you know, and people all year long, you got to find a way to get Miles Jack on the field more. Yes, I agree with that. I didn't agree with Dan Scuda playing significantly as many snaps as he did and Miles Jack not getting those snaps. I disagree with that. But you can't force him to be on the field until he proves that he's better than somebody else.
And Puz played at a high level.
Paul Posluszny had an excellent season.
He might have had his best season since he's been here.
Might have. Played in every game. Had a boatload of tackles, sack and a half, interception.
Yeah, pick.
His leadership, you know? Too, just out there.
He's so consistent, and he makes them such a good run defense because he never gets blocked. He's always active on every play. And, look, you can't sit there and discount what Paul Posluszny does play in and play out. You just can't.
Let's get to the phone lines. We'll get a couple calls in before the break. We go to Neptune Beach to get us started tonight. Papa Louie is on the line. You're on the air, Papa Louie. What's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Great, you?
Yeah, I'm on the air now.
Yes.
For the last 20 seconds.
How you doing?
Great.
What's on your mind, Papa Louie?
Well, thanks for taking my call, guys. Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year, Papa Louie.
Congratulations, Tony.
Thank you, Papa Louie.
Yeah, you know, me and you go back and forth, but I'm one of your biggest fans, and I'm pulling for you. And I just congratulate. If you want to take me to Houston, would you? I can be a lobbyist.
Okay, I appreciate that.
It's a great idea,
Papa Louie. You're going to make me be nice to you tonight with all those kind words you're saying to me. I can't get after you.
Hey, Jeff, I want to ask you, what's going on with the man crush? With those two. They're saying they love each other. I mean, they're not swapping spit in there.
No, we're not. Who? Talking about me and Tony, I think. Because you said you love me, and I was like, yeah, I love you too, whatever. Yeah. That's great,
well, I
Papa
love you
Louie.
Guys too. All right, we're talking about the coaching.
Yes, right? Let's talk about that.
All right, we got the offensive coordinator coming, or an offensive coach coming in. And then I think we should keep Wash. Who's the defensive back coach?
Dwayne Walker.
Well, I think he's done a hell of a job. And I think that defense is ready, and I'm trying to think of, we're only going to lose maybe what? I mean, Prince, are you going to re-sign Prince? We're going to re-sign House?
Well, House is already under contract, and Prince Amukamura's contract is up, but I expect them to make an effort to re-sign him.
And I would be surprised if Devon House is back.
All right, what about Sip?
Sip's going to be a free agent, and I think they let him test the market. Papa Louie, a lot of that depends on who the coordinator is. If it's Todd Wash, I think Sip fits. He had a nice year playing that box safety.
He had a good year.
But if you have a guy who comes and wants to play a split safety look, you know, cover two, cover four, I don't think Sip's – that's
– No, that's not what he is.
That's not what he is.
But the role that they had Cyprian in this year, which was well-defined due in large part because Sean Gibson played center field.
He was babysitter.
I thought Cyprian had a phenomenal year. I thought he had his best year yet as a pro.
I agree.
The thing that I like about him, first off, is that
when he points to the sky?
Well, I don't like that. I don't like that much at all. But he's durable.
Yes, he is.
He's consistent. And he's, for the most part, in the box, he's a good tackler.
Physical. He's a physical guy.
Yeah, and in space, he's not a great tackler. But that's not the role that they wanted him to do. And, I mean, to go on to Sean Gibson's comments and kind of a head scratcher on that.
I don't know.
I mean, look, when you came in, you knew what you're getting into.
Well, he said when he came in, it was the perfect fit, the perfect scheme for him.
Yeah, I mean, for him to make the comments that he wasn't used right,
He admitted to not doing his homework.
He was
a babysitter. That's what he said. He sits back 15 yards middle field, babysits. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what? It's a high paid. I'd like to, if someone wants me to babysit for whatever $6-7 million, whatever it is. I will be babysitting.
Well, he said he wasn't used properly in Cleveland, and they were asking him to not just be center field. His best role is playing center field. Now look, are there different things that other defenses do with a free safety to where he may
blitz a little bit more? Maybe?
Blitz or like more coverages that have different variations. Playing quarters, cheat, and all that kind of stuff. Sure, I mean, there's probably other positions in the league that play free safety a little bit differently. But look, man, you're a deep third player, red line. That's what they were going to bring you in for. That's what they did in Seattle. That's what they do in Seattle with Earl Thomas.
Is Earl Thomas very good? Does he make very many plays?
Has Earl Thomas ever said that I'm a babysitter?
You know the funny thing is, Jeff, if Deshaun wouldn't have made those comments – I think we both would have said, you know what, he had a nice year.
He did have a nice year.
He had a nice year.
Good open field tackler.
Yeah. I mean,
didn't have many opportunities at interceptions, but that's not his fault.
No, I thought it was a nice year. Now after these comments, all we're doing is ripping him for making the comments.
Oh, come on.
But we still think he had a nice year.
It doesn't change, but my point is, as a player, you only hurt yourself. What do they think? Deshaun Gibson and even Jalen's comments. That the next head coach comes in going, yeah, I can trust those guys. They just threw the last staff under the bus. I can't wait to get with them.
Yeah, but with Jalen, you just
turned the other.
He's young. Jalen,
well, not only that. You look at Jalen and say, well, he's that good. It's okay.
Yeah, but you still.
I'll deal with it.
Still got to deal with it, but you still just go, he's young.
One more call before the timeout. We go to the University of Central Florida and say good evening to Dalton. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey, man.
Hey, so the NFL YouTube page just recently released, like, three classic Jaguar games. So I was born in 1993, so for the first time ever, I was able to watch that 96 game against the Broncos. And I got to tell you, man, I had, like, adrenaline rushing through my veins, and oh, my gosh, it was crazy. And, like, just I was asking my dad about it, and he was just saying how, you know, there were, like, what, 40 to 50,000 fans waiting in the stadium after the game, and, you know, just seeing – the Selly logs and Mark out there, and it was so cool to watch. And you know, I just graduated college, and I've officially gone through all of high school with losing seasons, and all of college with double digit losing seasons. So you know, hopefully, better times going forward.
You know what?
But
it's going to get better. And now that you're out of college, I think we're just waiting for you to get out of college and get a job, so you get some tickets of your own and get some double digit winning seasons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'll be alive for hopefully 60 more years. So, you know, maybe one of these years is going to come.
Let's hope more than one. If it's only one, we're all going to be in the grave early.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, all we got to do is all of a sudden this next coach that comes in, if he goes 8-8, then all of a sudden he's the savior. Like, you know, he's going to – this city's going to be
– Have a parade?
Yeah, we're going to have a parade. I'll be leading it in there, you know, with my college – or with my – diploma hat on, everything. We'll be good to go.
Man, you know what, Dalton? I appreciate you calling in, man. You made me feel really old.
Oh, I know. I thought the same thing. I'm like, golly.
Wow. Well, yeah, I was born back, you know, then.
And I just graduated college. I
had to watch you on YouTube.
I didn't think you were that old, Jeff.
But, hey, I just want to say something real quick. You know, say Mike Smith gets hired as the coach. All right, that's going to be part 1A, but part 1B, we're going to be like, okay, who the heck is this offensive coordinator going to be? And, you know, one guy that's an offensive genius that's going to get no head coaching looks is Chip Kelly. Do you think he'd be a personnel fit? And I guess I'll take your comments off the air.
Yeah, it's a great question. But no, I don't think Chip Kelly is a good fit. First off, Chip Kelly believes in a system. And he's going to have an opportunity to run a ship, whether it be in college.
I think his system, whatever. Jeff, in my opinion, suited better for college.
Yeah, but I mean, it probably is. But either way, look, he's got a good system. It's been proven to work. He proved that it worked in Philadelphia for a short period of time. It has been wildly successful at the college level.
Absolutely.
He's going to get paid a ton of money over the next couple of years to not do anything. So he's going to be able to do whatever he wants. But I think, you know, I think one of the reasons why that Mike Smith and Doug Marrone are attractive, besides that they have done it before, besides the fact that they have had success, obviously two different degrees. I think Smitty is obviously a little higher category than Doug Marrone, because Smitty has proven that he's done it for quite some time.
Went to an NFC title game.
Yep. But the ability to maintain continuity at some level with either one of those guys. And what I mean by that, Doug Marrone, look, if Doug Marrone gets the head coaching job,
I don't think the coordinators change.
I think Nathaniel Hackett probably is your offensive coordinator, and Todd Walsh would probably be the defensive coordinator, and then you got continuity.
I think there'll be a lot of staff changes, though, Jeff.
Absolutely. But to keep at least the core systems in place, that's attractive, because consistently if you're consistent in the National Football League, it has been shown the teams have had more success. Now, the question that I have, and I think it's a question that's worthy of asking, is does consistency bring success, or is success what is allowing consistency to happen? So I understand the desire for teams in the league to want to have consistency for their players, same system, they're learning, they're adding on to what they already know. But at the same token, you know, part of those metrics, you know, the numbers of looking at consistency being the keys to success is that success leads to consistency. It's like what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah. Well, historically, Jeff, in the NFL, success has brought consistency, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think what they're looking at here is, will the consistency lead to success? And I think it's a fair question, and this is why. Todd Walsh only had 1 year as coordinator, and I think it's hard to argue that he did not do a great job. Now, in fairness to Bob, he had better players this year than Bob Babich ever had. I mean, Babich never had a Jalen Ramsey. He didn't have Malik, you know. I mean,
Doc Wade or any of those guys.
But with that said, it's my opinion, at least, that Todd Walsh did a great job.
Very good job.
I mean, a great job. I don't care who the players are.
He got a C+, though.
Yeah. I don't know by who. You have to coordinate those guys. So I thought Bob Babich is a friend, but I thought it was the right move by Gus last year to make the move, and I thought Todd Walsh was the right hire. And I thought he did a fabulous job. And so I would bring him back if I got hired as head coach, because his success, in my opinion, warrants the consistency to continue with him as the coordinator. So now let's move to the offense side of the ball. Nathaniel Hackett was coordinator for nine games?
Yeah, I think it was nine.
Eight, nine games?
Mm-hmm. I think it was nine.
I thought there was an improvement when he was the coordinator. The run game, I thought just the coordination, just.
You know when the biggest improvement came? When Doug Marrone got out of being the offensive line coach.
Well, I think John Benton's a heck of an offensive line coach, too, by the way. So I think, and you look at
what?
The success that they had in Buffalo the year. And but so I understand.
That's fair out, JP. You can't argue
it.
I mean, once they
is.
Got Doug Marrone out of the offensive line room, offensively they thrive.
So I don't think it's actually back to my point, Nathaniel Hackett. I don't think it's fair to evaluate him fully just on those 8 or 9 games because it wasn't fully his system. He was still trying to morph what Ole was doing.
Hard to change it drastically.
And so but Jeff's point's good. I mean, very good. Usually consistency brings – I mean, success brings the consistency and not the other way around.
We'll come back with a couple more calls. Matthew, Frank, stay on the line. Check out Jack Anania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
The first two off-season, obviously going into the third one, the first two was kind of just figuring out. I didn't know what to do. I'd never had an off-season before. Didn't have a whole lot of people to talk to or try and figure out what to do. So I think I kind of got a good thing down. So I'm looking forward to going out to California, getting started, and getting myself in the best possible shape that I can be in physically, mentally, and stuff, to try and come in here and help this team out.
Here's your quarterback, Blake Bortles, on getaway day. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. We go back to the phone lines. We go to the Space Coast, Titusville. Matthew's on the line tonight. What's up, man?
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air, Matthew. What's up?
All right. I just got three things to say. First thing I want to talk about is I think at number four we should take Dalvin Cook. If you look at the explosive plays he's had through his 3 years, I know Jameis was a big part of the Seminoles championship, but so was Cook. I know so was Benjamin. Look at his second and third year. I mean, he never gets hurt. He's a good guy. He doesn't really celebrate a lot.
Can I ask you a question?
Whoa.
I just have a curious thought. What does not celebrating have to do with anything?
He just seems like a laid-back kind of guy. Like, Odell Beckham's always celebrating.
Oh, so you wouldn't want Odell Beckham on this team?
Oh, I would love Odell Beckham on this team.
Yeah, I guess so. Like we all would.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Matthew.
All right, so Matt, we got number one. You got two more. What do you got?
All right, Daly's place. I don't think that has been brought up. I think that's a very attractive thing for a coach to come here. It seems like the Jags in the preseason or before that were always practicing out in the heat. I'm always hearing it as an excuse. I've been living in Florida my whole life. I think an indoor facility will help out a lot. And as far as the coach, I think Mike Smith, Prisco said it the other day, fastest to 50 wins. Thanks, guys. I love hearing y'all.
Thanks, Matthew. Yeah. Actually, second fastest, George Seifert was the first. But
look what George Seifert took
inherited,
over.
Inherited pretty good.
I mean, Joe Montana, Steve Young. I mean, come on.
That was a good quarterback.
Daly's place. Still on track.
Hold on. Yeah. George Seifert in Carolina
was
utter failure.
Not bad. Good.
And have you ever met him?
No.
He is the most, you got the most interesting man in the world. George Seifert might be the most uninteresting man in the world. I am dead serious.
It's a good quality as a leader.
Tell us how you really feel.
After multiple times of talking to George Seifert, back when I was calling games for Fox, just like you.
Yeah, it's bad.
Telling you.
Hey, you learn a lot, though, don't talk to those guys, don't you?
And I learned a lot about him.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of nothing.
No, but it's not what they say you learn from. It's just how they say it.
Right. Yeah.
Literally, the most uninteresting man in the world. The Daly's Place thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's not that it's about the facility. It's about a display of commitment from the owner when it comes to things like that and the city. And I think that goes back to what we talked about, why that this is a very popular job opening compared to the other openings around the league. You have an owner that's committed. An owner committed half of his money to do a lot of these things, and the city is on board with a lot of things. I mean, that's what it takes, and so – the indoor facility, is that going to make a difference of wins and losses?
No.
No. But is it going to make the difference of
– make it nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll enjoy an air-conditioned practice every once in a while.
That's not what they're doing. They're doing it to get out of the rain.
That's one thing.
That too, whatever, yeah.
Ever since Shad Khan bought the team, the commitment to being the best, having the best, has been there. And you could never argue that it hasn't been there. And that – will be an attractive part of this opening, one of the most attractive parts of this job.
Why are you pointing to your Florida State shirt?
I saw that it was on the TV, so I thought it's yours. But let's go to the first question, though, Jeff. Would you pick Dalvin Cook? fourth?
Well, I don't know about fourth. I haven't watched enough from the other guys to know.
Would you pick a running back fourth overall?
Probably not.
Neither would I. And I love Dalvin Cook, by the way.
Good player.
But if you're going to take him, you better trade down and take him, or get a bunch of picks and trade back up in.
Don't look now, but Tony Boselli is discussing the draft tonight.
Yeah, it's against my better judgment, but I do think getting a premier back would help this offense.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And Dalvin Cook is a freak. He's a stud, and I'd love to have him here. I just – now, everyone in Dallas will say, wait a second, we took Ezekiel Elliott number four. It worked out okay for us.
A dang good offensive line in front of him, too.
He is, but Dalvin Cook is a special player. So is Leonard Fournette. Both of them are great players. I just – boy, I'd worry about taking a guy that high at that position. Because you know what? Jay Ajayi, who I'm getting ready to go for the Miami Dolphins, was the fifth-round pick, 1,200 yards, and I think 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good player.
Let's finish up good player. On the west side. Frank is on the line. What's up? Frank, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Jeff and Tony. When an NFL team, typically, when they feed their players for whatever reason, what types of foods do you see? And do you also see, like, skill players like linebackers and pass rushers? Do they make better food choices than, say, like an offensive lineman might make?
Well,
right. Great question.
Well, it's clearly that you can see just from watching us, if you're watching, that you know the defensive ends made better food choices. Well,
I think I look pretty good right now, Jeff.
Well, DPS PSC.
A year ago, you could have made that comment.
Now, the
but don't make me show the abs off right now.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, no.
The Jaguars actually
impressive.
Employ.
Joe, don't shake your head. You know you're
a full-time
impressed.
Nutritionist.
Yes, Mindy Black.
Mindy Black literally shapes the Jaguars menu because, you know, the players during the course of the season and I think even a good part of the offseason, they have breakfast and lunch that they serve to the players. I mean, back when Tony first got in the league, we had that.
There was no nutritionist, though.
Well, we didn't have a nutritionist, but for the most part, they were trying to select good foods. And so Mindy actually
literally. And what would we go do?
Well, we go get
ants,
Popeyes.
And ants?
Yeah. But, I mean, right now they have excellent catering.
Worked for us.
Food here is unbelievable.
Maybe we need more of that food going on.
And they have shakes. They do all kinds of shakes to where they're adding things.
Milk,
I mean,
they have milkshakes like chocolate and vanilla?
We didn't know. It's not those kind of shakes.
They have Oreo shakes. I love
Kale
Oreo shakes.
Kale and spinach and all that other kind
of
stuff.
I like the Oreo shakes. If that was part of it, I'd thrive.
They do a great job with
they
the diet.
All
from offensive linemen all the way down to the skill position guys. And is it all specific? Yeah, they have specific diets for every individual.
Well, some guys need to lose weight.
You got spoiled, you know, because the year Tony came in 1995 was the first year I ever had a training table, ever.
Yeah. Really?
Breakfast, lunch, period, anything.
You always had to go out?
No, we always had in New York. Look, we would literally – my routine, my rookie
did
year.
Did we have breakfast our first year? I know we had lunch. Did we have breakfast,
too? Yes, we did.
Why were we always going to Ants then, getting those sausage and egg deals?
Just because.
That's all I remember is eating those pita pockets.
It was good, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
Miss Angie had a good pita pocket.
Oh, golly.
But literally, from my rookie year until I got here, never had any kind of catered food whatsoever. Breakfast, lunch, none of that.
So yeah, we
problem was we ate fast food and delis and McDonald's and crap.
Guess what, though? I still had McDonald's every day at practice on the way home. And then I go eat dinner, and it worked well.
It sounds like the Jaguars.com menu right there. I've got news for you. Let's come back and wrap it up.
You wear it well.
Thank you. Well, look around the National Football League. Pick some games. Who picked well in Week 17?
We'll find
out when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Get the latest transportation news and information with the award-winning Making Moves. Watch the first Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. Let's look around the National Football League. Last week's results are in. Lagerman and Shadrick were both 8-7. So the second place tie remains at 573 for the year. Boselli 11-4 last week. strengthening domination. His season-long domination at .627 win percentage. Playoff games will count as double. We'll see on Jaguars.com if you're watching the results from last
he
week.
He still has to put that starter picking in before.
Well, it's not going away. I mean, it is what it is. So when we overtake you, Tony, that'll go away.
Don't pull me on your side on this because I'm on the
you're
Sully
the one
side
on my coattails picking what I pick every week.
We don't
That's
need
we tie
the,
every
the
week.
Footnote, JP.
We're tied for the season. Quit. What is wrong with you? Throwing stuff
I've been
at
saving
me.
That one.
That's real nice, Clark. Saturday games. What a horrible quarterback matchup. Raiders at the Texans at 4:30 Eastern. Who you got?
I'm taking the home team. Better defense, two bad. I mean, both are bad quarterbacks. Connor Cook's a rookie, third string. It's a disaster. Maybe not have no left tackle. Donald Penn with the knee. I mean, and the Raiders' defense is average. You got Khalil Mack, great player. But outside that, tell me where it scares you about him. I like Houston Texans because of the defense.
Wow. I'm taking the Raiders.
Are you?
Even with Connor Cook at quarterback. I think they're going to run the ball well.
You're brave.
I am brave.
You are very brave.
I'm looking to break the tie.
There you go.
Well, I'm going to go with the Texans.
Good. Glad you went on Baselli's coattails.
He always does. Obviously not enough.
Lions at the Seahawks.
Matt Stafford has not played well the last four games.
Busted his middle finger. Yep.
And they don't run the football. And you're certainly not going to throw the ball well against that pass rush.
Go ahead.
Go for it, JP. Go for it. Don't be scared.
Let's do the Lions, baby. Upset special on the road. 12th man. Doesn't mean a darn thing.
Yeah, I'm going Seahawks. I'm with Jeff. I was hoping you'd be an idiot. Yeah. Congratulations.
That's great. You're back to your old ways.
No, I'm just saying.
That's real nice.
Not a real idiot, just idiot picking.
No, you're
that's
not.
All.
No, that's not what you meant. Sunday, Dolphins at the Steelers. You're doing this
Joe
game.
Joe says you're a real idiot.
Yeah, that's true. Dolphins at the Steelers. You got this game.
I do. And,
one.
You've been watching film.
I have.
Let you go first.
Yeah, so go ahead.
You know a big problem the Dolphins have is Mike Pouncey is hurt. When Mike Pouncey, I think for the first 13 games before he got injured, they averaged about 156 yards rushing a game. 95 since he's been out.
Hey, I'm going Steelers. I'm getting my pick in early.
And so,
so you don't accuse me of anything.
I just think the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell, the way he's playing, the offensive line's playing really well, and Antonio Brown, I think it's just too much. Now, I love Jay Ajayi. He's a fun back to watch, but I like the Steelers.
I read somewhere that this is the first playoff game that those three guys have healthy.
Ever played to get not
that's
just healthy.
Bell, Ben Roethlisberger,
they've never played
Brown.
A playoff game together.
That's wild.
Isn't that wild?
Who would have thought about that?
In the last 5 years, they only have one playoff win, too. The Steelers do. And that was last year when they got a gift from the Bengals because they blew it at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah,
because
all the calls and
Pittsburgh
stuff.
Pittsburgh gets another one.
Yeah, I got Pittsburgh.
And then the game of the week, the Giants at the Packers at frigid Lambeau. The frozen
Aaron Rodgers, I mean, what, how many in a row did he win? Five,
six?
Six.
Six. Six. Six in a row. Went on a roll. Steelers won seven in a row.
Tremendous job by them. It is going to be cold, certainly in Wisconsin. No doubt about that. I'm taking Aaron Rodgers. I just think that he's been so hot, and he's gonna continue to stay hot in a cold weather game.
I'm with you on that one.
The Giants defense is the second best scoring defense in the NFL. Patriots are number one. Giants are number two. They spent $200 million, and they got their money's worth this year. The problem is they only give up a little over 17 or right at 18. They only score about 19.8.
And Eli in cold weather is going to shrill up.
Well, now Eli plays good in the playoffs, and they've gone to – the last time, two times they've gone to Green Bay, they've upset the Packers. The Giants have. Tom Coughlin was the head coach. With all that said,
right?
Yeah, with all that said, I'm going Packers.
Yeah, there you go.
I think it's going to be a good football game. Close game.
Yeah, when are the games?
So Houston
Saturday 4:30, yeah. And the Lions Seahawks at 8:15 Eastern time.
1:05 Sunday okay. For Dolphins Steelers, and then 4:15 whatever.
4:40 Giants Packers. Yeah. Yes. So there you have it. Should be a good weekend.
It will be a good weekend.
I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be cold in Pittsburgh.
Is it? How cold?
In the 20s.
It's like snowing there now.
Without wind chill though. That doesn't include windshield.
You're up in the booth. What are you worried about?
Oh, I'm not, and I'm glad I'm in the booth because I don't have. I realize that I've lost weight. I have no warm weather like jacket, so I'm gonna have to bring layers. And I can't. Typically, I just go to see Jimmy Luck down at the equipment room and get some Jaguar stuff.
He's
back.
Awful.
But even if he was on, I don't think wearing Jaguar gear in the booth.
No, that was not.
It's going to go over well.
The AFC playoffs.
Hey, not that anyone would be able to see it. You're on radio.
Right, that's a good point. We'll see you guys next week.
All right, looking forward.
Tony Boselli, Jeff Flagerman, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching and listening. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.